Dude, that's the opening of the show. You realize? That's literally...
From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Packer Transplants Live here at the Stillmank Brewery. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
What is on tap is some bee's knees, some killer bees, some Wisco Disco.
Hell yes.
And good times here at Stillmank Brewery in Green Bay, Wisconsin with all of these lovely people.
Come on now. Give it up for yourself.
Yeah.
That is some insanity right there.
I mean, are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
This
I could
is
not
ridiculous.
Be kidding you less.
This is ridiculous. Packers training camp has
Come
started.
On.
And now I'll get back to the script. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be kicking off training camp as the Packers gear up for the 2015 season in which they were going to win a Super Bowl.
Damn right.
But first, of course, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got not that. We got the good. We got re-signing Ka, Bulaga, and a talent-filled draft.
That's right. Putting some more talent on the field never hurts. Bringing back all 11 starters on offense, ready for domination.
We got the bad. We got saying goodbye to my man, Tremont Williams. Oh, that hurts
man,
my feelings.
And let me tell you, his jersey is on the clearance rack at the pro shop.
And we got the ugly... Multiple arrests and various suspensions.
I mean, what do these guys think they are? They're the Jets? They're the Bengals? What's going on over here? I'm not used to this off-season arrest meter that we needed to have this summer.
No.
I don't know, Corey Banky. How the hell are you doing, man?
I'm really good. I'm really excited to be here. I want to thank our sponsor, Stillmank Brewery.
Let's give it up for Stillmank.
Yes, 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 yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
I mean... Is it not the greatest beer in Green Bay?
It really is.
Wisco Disco.
What's great is like I go out last night in Green Bay, and I have a libation or two. And, you know, there's a Wisco Disco on tap, and that's just heaven on earth right there. And then for lunch today, I'm at 1919 over there at Lambeau Field. And, what's available? There's a Wisco Disco on the menu. So it's just great to see it kind of taking root. It's great to see it kind of expanding. I love it when people tweet me pictures of them with a Wisco Disco.
In Lambeau Field.
Especially when it's a picture from Lambeau Field.
That's amazing.
Those are the best tweets ever in the history of man.
And we got to do the classic. Everybody needs to tweet this. I'm watching Packer Transplants on Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco.
Got to do it.
You might win something. You might not. Just do it.
Just, you know, really, there should be no incentive to be tweeting that. I mean, just do it, people.
So, training camp. Packers kick it off. How was it?
It was crazy because I was up at 6:30 this morning, walking out to the field with our man Brian over there in the corner. Everybody say hi, Brian. Hi, Brian. There you go. And 6:30 a.m., sun's barely up, and there are people lined up outside Ray Nitschke Field. You do not find that in every NFL city. I will tell you that. For a practice that starts at 8:20, 6:30 in the morning, there are people lined up around the corner of the thing. Ready for camp. They're ready.
And of course, the classic, the kids lining up.
Gotta love it.
Probably one of the greatest traditions in the history of the NFL.
Absolutely. If not the greatest. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's hard to think of one across the league that's anywhere near as good or as tradition filled. I mean, they've been doing it back, you know, way Lombardi days, etc. Gotta love it. Other news around the Packers, fear, record profits. I love it. The NFL, the rest of the cities, all the journalists digging into those numbers to see, you know, oh, hey, NFL's doing really well. Really, okay, breaking news there. Yeah. Okay, well done.
Well, it's the only way that they can see how well the NFL's doing because they're a public corporation.
And you see the money flowing in. I think it's no surprise, especially when you look at the media deals being done these days. You know where the money's coming from. And the Packers didn't have any huge contracts. No Aaron Rodgers on the books, re-signed. No Clay Matthews, which was the case last year. So, hey, the Packers are healthy. That's always a good thing. Can't be upset.
Nope.
Although, you know, I look at my Twitter feed, and I do see some people upset that the Packers didn't go out and sign Jermaine Gresham. Jermaine Gresham?
Who is that?
Exactly. Precisely. You know, you look at this guy, and yeah, he's got talent. He was a first-round pick, but there's a reason they let him go. There's a reason these guys are on the street. He visited Green Bay. I think at the end we can all agree it was clearly a leverage play by his agent, trying to maybe get a little more money out of the Cardinals, who eventually signed him. But it's just crazy to me how many people kind of go nuts for, there's a name, there's a guy I've heard of visiting the Packers, you know, and then they don't do it. Oh, that's just Ted. Yeah, it's just Ted, guy who's proven he knows how to build a team. So I think maybe he knows, although I will say, I did talk to a couple people, you know, with the personnel group, and they were lobbying hard for Ted to sign him. And ultimately it was Ted's call, and Ted said no.
So, Ted's going to Ted.
Ted going to Ted. And Ted is the teddiest Ted I've ever Tedded.
He is.
So we were talking about training camp, looking at the start, kicking it off, like you said. McCarthy comes out Wednesday, has his, you know, introductory press conference. I love how he gets up there. I gotta state this. I have to get this record, have to get this recorded. Love the beard, Mike. I know you're an avid watcher, and I know you're out there right now. Definitely. Love the beard. Love it. Don't ever shave it. Fantastic. Ooh. See, you know what I'm saying. You hear me. I love it. I hope he keeps it. I think it's great. It's a great transition from play caller to grand poobah. You know, it's like now he's the overseer. Now he's like Buddha. He's just like watching. I love it.
I'm going to show this is some footage we shot this morning from Packers training camp with a 4K camera. You're not looking at it in 4K, but that's how nerdy we are. We like to shoot high res Packers stuff. So that'll be on a loop. You can see some Aaron Rodgers like you saw in the intro. You know, just. Some people don't like to listen to you that much.
I understand that.
They have to watch like Packers stuff.
And now that they're all asleep, we'll wake them up again. McCarthy talked about wanting a fast start, and you're going to hear a lot of this. You can already tell. One day into camp, and you can already tell this is going to be a major theme this, you know, late summer, early into the preseason, getting off to a fast start. A lot of slow starts in the last 4 years. McCarthy, it's interesting because he mentioned in that press conference how he wants to get involved more in analytics, which I think is funny. Like you mentioned, maybe he's looking at Packers.com's numbers with the Google Analytics. But no, he wants to look at, you know, everything he can do to help his team get off to a faster start. Now, here's my thing. Now, you look at last year specifically, and you look at the defenses they faced. And obviously, you've got Seattle, an excellent defense on the road. You got the Jets early on, and that's a very good defense. You know, the fact that, you know, it's funny because the players talked about after the game, we expected them to switch up personnel when we went to three or four wide, and they didn't. They stayed in their base. Things like that, where Mike seems to have this issue early on in the year where he's got one of the most complicated offenses in the league. I mean, there's no question about that. He knows this. I mean, I'm not telling the guy anything he doesn't know. Ultimately, early on in the season, the offense always takes just a little bit to get kicked into gear.
Yeah.
And it seems to me it would behoove them to kind of lean on more power formations, lean on, and I'm not talking simpler plays.
Good luck with that.
You're still going to have all the options you always have, you know, in regards to when Rodgers comes to the line, he's got options. He can make anything out of it, basically any formation. So lean on some more power, lean on some more tight ends, more full, you know, you got two fullbacks on the roster now, if they make it to the final cut.
That's a big if.
Lean on that, keep it a little more simplified, and just win some football games early on in the year. You don't have to spread it out. You don't need three, four, or five wide. And ultimately, you look at those games last year, again, specifically, they got killed by early turnovers. Those first 2 weeks, they had, I think in the Jets game, the first snap of the game, they're turning the ball over.
Yeah, but you say all that, okay?
I know.
Then Mike McCarthy's going to go out. He's going to go in five wide. And
he's going to do, he's
going to do what he's going to do.
Hey, he's not calling the plays anymore.
That's true. That's true. Tom Clements.
Tom got rolling in. So we'll see what the difference is there, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Stick with the news theme, though. Bit of news out of practice today with Jared Abedaris. And here's a guy. God, man, you just got to feel like this kid is snake bit a little bit after Obviously, what happened last year in camp, a couple days into camp, he's out with the knee injury. And now, first practice of the year, first practice of camp, and he goes up for a ball, gets intercepted, and he lands on his tail, apparently landed on his tailbone a little hard. And you wonder, yeah, he had injury issues in college. Maybe, you know, it's coming home to roost. But
yeah.
I will say, the league is littered with guys who had injury issues early on,
mm-hmm.
who even maybe missed a couple years because of injuries. The Packers have had these guys. Like Mike Flanagan comes to mind, where, you know, it's lots of injuries early. Hell, Aaron Rodgers. He was injured multiple times early on. It's been well documented. And, you know, comes back and is a great player. And I'm not saying Jared Aberderis is going to turn to Jerry Rice.
I was about to say Jared Aberderis is the next Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just saying, like, I know it's disheartening, especially when you see a guy who you've been, you know, really hoping and cheering, pulling for all summer to start out like this. But, you know, deep breath, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yep. It's the first day of camp.
Yeah, but, man, they're going to the Super Bowl, so I don't care.
It's true. It's just funny. Like, I actually think to myself, I'm like, I usually don't care about the first day of camp. Like, I love the, like, I love the bikes. I love the everything. We don't know anything, right?
Nope.
Last night, I went to the Green Bay Press Gazette, kind of a forum like this,
right? Right.
I think it was a little bit more boring because there wasn't a lot of beer involved. And it was really funny. People were talking about the 53, right?
Yeah.
And the Green Bay Press Gazette, I'm going to give a little shout out to them. They have a really great app where you can like set your own 53 man roster.
Oh, that thing is so cool.
It's really cool.
Highly recommend it.
Very
addictive.
Love the Green Bay Press Gazette. No hate there. But everybody's talking about the 53 man roster. It's like, you don't know? We're in shorts, people.
It's true. It's very true.
I digress.
It's the truth, though. I mean, these poor guys are made by their editors or whatever to, like, give out, like, here's my, like, Rob Domofsky. Poor Rob Domofsky. Everything he writes, everything he says on TV gets pushed to my phone by the ESPN app.
Yeah.
So here's Rob Domofsky. I'm in line at the freaking grocery store, right? And I'm going, my phone's buzzing, and I'm like, oh, that's that. Ooh, wait. And I look at it, and it's ESPN. And I'm, oh, there's something going on with the Packers, because that's the only thing I have ESPN.
Of course. What else would you have the ESPN app for?
Please. So I'm just like, oh, it's some news. And there's like, Rob Domofsky picks his pre-camp 53-man roster. I'm like, oh, you know, I thought maybe someone had been hurt or they had signed Gresham or something had happened. But
you
no.
still read it, though.
No, I read it when I got home. I didn't read it in the grocery store, you know. Again, because
well, what was really funny
opinion.
Is last night. So last night, these are the diehards that come out to the distillery.
The diehards.
Okay.
The diehards.
So the guy's question was, your colleague that used to work for you, he didn't put Mike Pennell on the 53-man roster. Really?
Yeah. So now Westmont
you're pulling out
is up
Mike
there
Pennell.
Having to answer why Rob Domofsky's brain put Mike Pennell on the outside. Like Mike Pennell, who hasn't taken a snap yet.
Only Packer fans, people. Only Packer fans.
I love
fans.
It. And that is true, because you talk to guys who like cover the Packers, and then they go someplace else.
Buffalo Bills. Do you think Ty Dunn, do you think anybody that's in Buffalo, do you think when Ty Dunn writes about the fifth string wide receiver, anybody cares in Buffalo?
No.
No one cares.
Well, hey, remember we had Tom Pelissero on this here program when he moved to the Twin Cities and was covering the Vikings. And we asked him on the show, what's the difference? And he said, well, you know, in Green Bay, they want to know who the fourth corner is. They want to know who the fifth wide receiver is. In Minnesota, they're like, you think Adrian Peterson is going to get 2,000 yards? Like,
do you think that?
That's the difference. You know what? I'll tell you what. Adrian Peterson scares the hell out of me.
I know. I think Adrian Peterson is going to have a breakout year.
I think he's going to a breakout year? Sure. You think he's like on the cusp? You think that kid, if he just keeps trying, he's going to do something?
I don't mean it like that. I mean it like he's going to have like the best year of his life.
He's going to destroy the NFL this
year.
I really do. And I love Teddy Bridgewater. I hate that he's a Viking, but I think he's going to have a good year. They scare the hell out of me.
Honestly, I know I told you I didn't want to talk about Brett Favre, but I
do
feel
it,
like.
Do it, son. Do it.
I feel like.
Come on, Brett. Back in the fold, baby.
Well, what's funny is. I was going to say that Adrian Peterson is going to kind of be like when Brett Favre played for the Vikings.
You mean he's going to come to the Packers?
He had the greatest, like, I wish.
Yeah,
I mean, he had the greatest, he had like the greatest.
Statistical year of his career.
Statistically his greatest
2009.
Season.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be like that. We should get back on track to offense, though.
Yeah, but this script is so boring. I mean, all right.
You wrote it.
All right, I know I wrote it. That's my point. All right, so on the offensive side of the ball, what difference will Tom Clements make to the play calling. Now, here's something.
Very good question.
Well, thank you. I thought you hated the script, but okay, you're coming around.
I like
right.
that.
Now, here's my thing with Tom. Here's a guy who called plays in Buffalo, as you so eloquently mentioned, with J.P. Lossman was one of his quarterbacks in Buffalo. I mean, they didn't have a whole ton of talent. And now he has been handed the keys to a Ferrari. I mean, he's been handed not only all 11 starters returning from last year, but an X factor in Ty Montgomery, who that kid, holy cow, that is a physical specimen. That is a kid who, you know, you look at him on tape, and we know what he can do as a returner.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about that stuff they run with Cobb in the backfield. Now you come into your huddle, right? And you've got, say, four receivers. Two of them are Montgomery and Cobb. And the defensive coordinator is sitting there thinking, all right, well, I got to counter with my dime. And then let's say you come out and you split Adams and Nelson, and then you have Montgomery and Cobb in the backfield. Well, now you've got your dime defense out there going, oh, no. I've made a terrible mistake. And you can hand it to Montgomery or hand it to Cobb.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
That's crazy talk.
That's going to cause some problems.
Let me ask you this,
teams.
Batman.
Yes, sir.
How many weeks until Mike McCarthy takes over play calling?
That's the million-dollar question. I don't know. I wrote about it this summer.
Say four.
You know, I love that Brett brought it up in his speech.
I just don't think
Mike
McCarthy.
Brett,
Mike McCarthy cannot give up that role. I'm sorry, can't give up
He's
that role.
A play
Why?
Caller.
Why should he give up that
That's
role?
That's like Mike Holmgren giving up play calling. Like it doesn't make any sense. He's a play
it's
caller.
Pointless.
It's what he does. It's in his blood. And I don't care what I know. People hate on Mike, and I know they hate on him for the end of the Seattle game. And I get all that. But he's a great play caller. Like you look around the league. Go watch a Jacksonville game. Go watch a freaking Browns game. Although I will say
we have a Browns fan in the house. Actually, shout out to Nick.
Oh, Nick. Poor Nick.
Thanks, Nick, for helping.
Thanks,
start the
Nick,
show,
But, you know, you go watch those games and you're like, talk about the Browns, watching Pat Shurmur call a game.
Oof.
Like, that's like,
ouch.
That's like pain.
You're hurting
that's
my
straight
feelings.
Pain to your heart. So, you know, Mike gets a lot of grief unnecessarily. So, in regards to when he takes it over, I don't know, man, but it's going to be interesting to watch. And you know, those television producers will have their, like, cameras trained on him when things get tense.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Mike's, like, walking around going.
He's like, get a plan.
Okay. Yeah. No. And definitely. He's, like, got some, like, secret version of the play. You know, he's always walking around with a laminated version. He's got, like, one of those fold-out schedules they were handing out at Packers camp today.
Yep.
He'll have one of those and just be like, XY47.
Yeah.
No, Tom, I said XY47.
Yeah, and he's going to overrule it.
That totally.
For sure.
I think that's inevitable. We're all going to see it. Probably a national televised game where he gets all tense. And,
yep.
You know, remember when he tripped over the cord?
Yep.
And he swore up a storm?
Yep.
And they were up like 50 points? It's like, Mike, yo, chill, buddy. Like, it's going to be all right.
Yep.
But speaking of play calling, speaking of the offense,
Aaron Rodgers.
Can I tell this story real quick?
Yes.
Why you say that?
Yes.
Why you say that every time?
You can tell whatever
I
you
love
want.
It. I love
it's your
it.
Show. Just live here.
It's your show. I'm just living here. But so Aaron Rodgers gets drafted back in the day. And
that was like one of the most exciting days of my life. And I'm not just saying that because he won a Super Bowl. Literally, I was very excited.
Corey, for the record,
I wanted him to drop at 26.
Was all in on Aaron Rodgers from the get-go, like from day one. Guy gets drafted. I'm very like, I don't know about this. I don't okay, I'll give him the benefit. But, oh, God, I don't know. And at the time, I was in a band. God help us all.
Wow.
I was like playing. I was playing this gig, right? And I'm on stage in this like venue in New York, and my guy, we're playing, and people are dancing, and it's all good. And we get done, and people clap, and it's like, and then you know that moment when the music kind of dies and the clapping dies, and there's that inch of silence before I'm about to go on the microphone, and then you hear from the back of the club, you hear Corey yell out, "Aaron Rodgers!" This is before Aaron had taken a snap.
I was like,
"Yeah, man." But that's better because before the Aaron Rodgers. It was Travis Jervy. Travis Jervy.
Dude, Travis Jervy. Fullback dive. Come on. Give it up.
I once found Corey at a party back at school in the corner, and all he was doing was sitting in the corner and going, "I am Travis Jervy. I am Travis Jervy."
Travis Jervy was amazing.
I just let him – I just kept walking.
I was kind of wasted.
I didn't even know what to do. I didn't know what to do with that. All right. Continuing on with the offense, getting back on track, as you would say.
Yes, sir.
Matt Blanchard. signed in the offseason. Everyone just assumed camp body, camp arm. But there he is, lo and behold, today, running with the threes in front of Brett Hundley, who they traded up, you know, to get in the draft. But Hundley was there, like, going against, basically with the scout team, against the number one defense, while, you know, Blanchard's with, you know, like a tier above him, I guess you'd say.
We have some footage of him.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't play it on demand, but I'm going to play it on a loop.
But, you know, Blanchard, and I will say, watching him today, it's the first time I've seen him live, he can sling it. He's got an arm. And it's clear that Mike thinks of him as more than a camp body. Like, he's clearly here to compete.
Yeah, which is good, because that's a position that needs some competition.
Well, yeah, they need depth. And I love the idea that, you know, they've got these guys, and they're going to compete, and they're going to, the hierarchy will shake out. Obviously, QB1, and then you've got Tolzien most likely be number two. But then I think, inevitably, you're going to see some mystery ailment for Brett Hundley. Like, towards the end of the camp, you'll see some, like, I don't know, like, oh, he's got an elbow thing, or, oh, he hit his head on the shower, or whatever. Like, some mystery injury will befall him where he's put on IR, and they'll redshirt him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Blanchard will be the number three if he continues down this path. Like, Mike's talked glowingly about him. Look good today. We'll see. We'll see. Lots to play out, preseason games, et cetera, et cetera.
I love this lower third right here.
Oh, God. What are you geeking out about?
Brett Hundley had one really nice throw in team today. This is why media should not cover the training camp.
He did. He had one really nice throw. Now, obviously, he had a lot of throws.
Did you see that throw, Steve?
Yeah.
See, he had a lot of throws.
Was it nice?
See? I mean, that's ownership
backing
that's
me
Steve
up. That's Steve the owner. That
that's,
is the
that's
owner.
Ownership yeah, I mean, that's, backing me up right now.
We got to give a shout out to Steve the owner.
Steve the owner's here.
Come on, everybody.
I mean, Mark Murphy can give him props. We'll give him props.
One of the classiest Packer fans I've ever met in my whole entire life.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
Steve, so I've got the backing of ownership on this.
There you go.
But, okay, the only reason I put it in the script for you to make fun of me is, you know, you look at his tape, and you look at what he did in college, and then the scouts talking about him coming out of college, and you're really worried about his arm strength. You're really worried about his ability to make the throw I'm talking about today, where he hit some undrafted rookie wide receiver on a deep out from the far hash. The far hash part is that's the throw that separates usually NFL quarterbacks, like whether it's a starter or a backup, to against guys who never make it in the league, guys who go play in the CFL, guys who end up usually in the Arena League. Like, this was a big-time throw, and he had some mustard on it. So that was the one throw where I was like, all right, this kid, he can make the throws. Because if you looked at tape, he was not asked to do that a whole lot in college, if ever. So that kind of puts your heart at rest a little bit, that at least he can make the throw. Now, can he do the proper reads? Can he set the protection? All that obviously will come. He's absolutely swimming right now, no doubt. But that throw, that tells you his arm is up to the task.
Yep.
And that's what you want to hear for a guy you traded up for in the draft.
And it's the first day of camp.
You know, these are the kernels that you look for on the first day of camp.
These are the kernels.
Not that, you know, you would know about that. These are the sleeping in on the first day of camp.
That's right. No, I was here setting up this show, son.
You weren't here at 6:30, son.
No, I wasn't.
I don't hear about that.
I was not.
All right, what else we got? Oh, yeah, the offensive line. Interesting.
Treader kind of, and Barclay, yeah.
Kind of dynamic here with Treader and Barclay coming back. Barclay obviously coming off the injury. It's interesting to me that the Packers seem so relieved / like excited about Barclay coming back. And the fact that, well, now that Barclay is here, we've got this awesome depth. I'm still telling you, like, we saw Treader in spot duty at tackle last year. Obviously, the Buffalo game comes to mind because he had a horrible play against Mario Williams. He was put in a horrible situation. Mike admitted afterwards he should never have left him out on an island. But now they say, oh, you know, Barclay's back. Oh, great, Barclay's back. I can show you tons of tape of him blowing chunks, essentially, at right tackle.
Yeah.
So I don't see as Barclay's back as any great panacea, but it does help at the guard position.
And it's good to have depth.
It's great to have depth. And I love Treader and Barclay both at guard. But at tackle, you know, I get that's most of the NFL. Like, most of the NFL, I mean, the New York Giants are ready to start Marshall Newhouse at right tackle.
Yikes.
Just saying. And I feel bad because I've gotten to know Marshall a little bit. Like, and so I had a Giants fan ask me about him on Twitter, and I know Marshall follows me on Twitter.
Woo!
So it's hard for me to say, like, yeah, well, welcome to the turnstile. But, you know, this is kind of how, yeah, I mean, you watch him in Cincinnati, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've had injuries, so now he's their starter, although I think they'll probably end up signing Jake Long. But speaking of the Giants and the Packers, word is today, James Jones is going to sign there.
Whoa!
Which I think makes a ton of sense. Good for James. I mean, the Ben McAdoo connection, he can walk in, he'll know the offense. I'm happy to see James get work because I think he got a raw deal out in Oakland. I kind of feel like he got a raw deal in Green Bay, but I'm just happy to see the man employed.
I mean, he kind of dropped some key balls.
He did. He caught some amazing touchdown passes as well.
He kind of dropped some key plays.
He also caught some amazing touchdown passes.
He kind of dropped some balls.
There were some amazing touchdown passes.
Okay, let's move on to defense.
All right. Defense. The side of the ball, that is always the worry. Why is that? Why is it that we have this... You know, everyone talking about all 11 starters returning on offense. We've got this amazing record-setting offense year in, year out. That's the side of the ball that Ted Thompson has clearly said, all right, we got to make sure this hums along. That's what we want, the continuity there, et cetera, which is kind of similar to what Bill Polian did when he was in Indianapolis. He made the determination of this is where we've got to, you know, butter our bread, and the continuity here is very important. And the defense, when it gels, great. When it doesn't, okay, we'll get them next year. And I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm always hoping for the 96. Like, I'm always hoping for the
number one defense in the league. That'd be great. Can I order that?
I wish you could.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of always hoping for the turnover defense. Like, the 96 defense.
Like, 2009 Saints.
The Al Harris Seattle playoff game defense.
2003, there you go.
You know.
Opportunistic.
Yes. Defense. Bend but don't break. Get a lot of interceptions.
Which is essentially what they've been under Dom Capers. I mean, I don't know. But, hey, but speaking of interceptions, speaking of the secondary, how about this Ladarius Gunter kid coming up today?
Okay, raise your hand if you know who Ladarius Gunter is in this room.
Go to the camera.
Come on, Brian.
Raise your hand.
One person. Two people.
Maybe two.
Oh, and Kyle Cousineau, who finally decided to join the show again.
Wait, three.
No, you don't count.
I never count. Anyway,
okay.
So this kid,
this is awesome though. This is why you come to Packer Transplants.
But he had,
so you can find out who Ladarius Gunter is.
Exactly. No, but he looked good in the offseason. But you know, you're in shorts. Not even wearing helmets half the time. Like, you're just kind of installing, and you don't really know what you're looking at. You know, you don't know if a kid's really a football player or if he just looks good in shorts. So he did all that, and he got his praise, and they wrote about him in the local press, and great, and la, la, la. Human interest story. Oh, I'm really invested in his story until he gets cut, and then I don't care anymore. But, you know, whatever. So comes out today at practice, and he's in drills. And, you know, Quentin Rollins is on the NFI because he screwed up his ankle somehow on his own time. So thanks for that, rookie. Anyway, but now here comes Gunter, and he's in drills, and he looks good. He's popping, and it's one of those guys that just kind of jumps out at you. He's big. He's long. He's got length. Can jam guys at the line. The reason he went undrafted is because he ran the slowest 40 time at the combine out of all the defensive backs. But there he is today, jumping out, looking good. Fourth or fifth play, I want to say, of team drills. Rodgers throws a fade. It was actually the play that Aberderis got hurt on. Throws a fade up the left sideline. There's Gunter making the interception.
Wow.
First interception of camp, and then it was off QB1. Kid, that's what Sam Shields did his first year.
So
people remember,
so going
that kid
back
made
to
play every day.
Going back blah, to blah, Green blah. Bay Press Gazette, that was one of the biggest questions, and I think it's one of the biggest questions for the Packers this year, right? Who is going to start second
opposite
cornerback
Shields.
Opposite Shields?
Yep.
And then where do we go for three and four?
Well, today it was Hayward outside opposite, as we've kind of all assumed would happen. And you know, Hayward missed the entire offseason program with an injury. But he was out there today. It was opposite Shields. And then they had Micah Hyde at the slot, which, of course, you knew that was going to happen. Although it was interesting because Hyde was running with the safeties and drill work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still kind of cross-pollinating there. And then, you know, you have Burnett and Ha-Ha there at the safety
And what
position.
About the rookie?
And I think that's your core.
So when does the rookie come up?
Well, we'll see. Hopefully never. Because like they're never injured, and we go through the whole year, no one ever gets injured, and we win the Super Bowl.
So Davante Adams week 10 is what you're telling me.
Something like that, yeah. But, you know, but that's good. But my point being with Gunter is, like, you love to see this. First day of camp, make a statement. Everyone's going to be – you'll be reading about him all day tomorrow, I promise. Now – can he sustain that? That's what Sam Shields did. Sam Shields,
yeah.
Everyone remembers, came into camp,
he did.
Made a play every day. where you were like, hey, wait, well, this kid's got something. And it's not like he's not without, he's not raw or without fault, because today he got beat by Miles White. Miles White, Mr. August at the receiver position, you know? He got beat to the inside on a post, and that's going to happen. Yeah. He got beat by another fellow undrafted wide receiver, and that's going to happen. But can you make a play a day? Can you make a play when the pads come on? Obviously, that is the big disclaimer.
Saturday.
Everything we're talking
Saturday's
about.
Saturday's coming.
Can't wait. And I
coming.
Can I just –
I don't understand. Why are you in shorts for 2 days?
Can I just – thank you. Thank you. Can I just for a second here? I mean, I get it. I get easing them back in. I get the new CBA. I get all of that. But, like, 1 day is fine. But they have this mandated 2 days without pads. And then – oh, and then we're going to give them 1 day with pads. And then we need a break. And then we got to take the mandatory day
and
off.
And whatever happened to two-a-days?
This guy. All right. So when we're setting this up.
I remember
up,
going with my grandfather to training camp, and you would basically go in the morning, and then you would have lunch at Curls West.
Right.
And then you would come back, and you would watch some more camp.
That's right.
And you would like kind of have like a little sleepy nap time. And then you'd be like, oh, Aaron Ryan, Brett Favre, right. He scored. Yeah. Or actually back then it was.
Lynn Dickey.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody had a touchdown, but
come on, JJ and Lofton, they were catching some touchdowns. But so yeah, but it was great. We were setting up. We were literally like, I called Corey and I said, we got to go to camp. We got to go to the start of camp. We got to do this. He's like, all right, great, yeah, okay. And then we, you know, we have meetings. We're like, so we're in the office, Corey's office. We're looking at the schedule, and he goes, they don't do 2 days anymore. And I'm like, dude. When was the last time you were camp? He's like, yeah, like 5 years ago. I'm like,
when we first covered training camp.
And I was like, yeah, no, 2 days have gone the way of the dodo. Like,
yeah, we had the first live blog, and we had video from camp that night.
That was the hotness, man.
Dude,
let me tell
that
you.
That was like 2007, bro.
We were saying, like, we used to have a guy who would go to camp. He would shoot through the fence, upload it,
and then
we would
show
it on our show.
Yep.
That was before Vine, before
That's
Periscope.
That's like ESPN 3.
Something like that.
All right.
Back to the defense?
Yes.
All right, so starting defensive line, Mike Daniels, B.J. Raji, and LaTroy Guyon. How exciting is that, right? Until you remember, B.J. Raji looked like complete butt last time he played in a real game.
Yep.
And Guyon's probably suspended for at least one, if not more, games. So then you're like, wait a second. So let's bring in Dayton Jones. Oh, right. Yeah, maybe not. So the core is there. That's your starting, apparently today, the declaration is, that's your starting three in the base. I love the idea, but how much can we count on B.J. Raji? And I know everyone says, well, he looked good in camp last year before got hurt. And that is true, and he looked good in limited time in the preseason. But how much can you really count on this guy who had one good year, and it was 5 years ago?
It was the year we won the Super Bowl.
That was correct, sir. But he's back in his position, I know, under, and that's the other thing everyone points out.
Yeah, when are we going to see, like, the interception, you know? When are we going to see, like,
you just want to see
B.J. dropping back in zone coverage? That is sweet.
But everyone remembers the interception against Chicago, obviously, and the touchdown.
Who doesn't?
But what no one remembers is, like, earlier that year when Dom would have him drop back, and literally there is,
you'd be like, no, no, don't do that!
And he's back there, like, I guess as the running back is like running with the ball, like right by him. He's like, so it's not all like interceptions and touchdowns every time he drops.
It's true. It's true.
But I do like it as a wrinkle. But sometimes Dom does this stuff that's just like, all right, calm down, calm down. You know, speaking of calming down, I think people who are apoplectic at the idea of Clay Matthews moving inside, well, they just need to get used to it because that's happening. And I understand, like, even today, he still bounced outside. He was still outside with Peppers paired up where, you know, I think they had Nate Palmer coming inside, the old outside linebacker that they've converted inside linebacker, who's now running in front of Carl Bradford, who they used a fourth-round draft pick on last year. But I digress. But Clay, the great idea, I think, conceptually this year, is the fact that he's going to be practicing inside linebacker from the get-go. He started back in the offseason.
Yeah.
He's now here training camp practicing at that position, whereas last year it was literally, okay, they got killed in the Saints game. They went on a bye week.
They pivoted.
Said, we're horrible in the middle. Really? Everyone could see that in training camp, and you're just real. Come on. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They did a pivot.
And they went,
it was a clear pivot.
Clay in the middle, you know, and it worked. But that was – that's in the middle of the year when he can barely, they're barely practicing. They have like three, at that point of the year, they have like three padded practices left.
Yeah.
You know? So to have him working inside from the get-go and actually learning the position, getting coached up, I think that's one of the things that hasn't been talked about a lot that I think is going to make a major difference for that defense this year. Because you saw last year what a difference it made. It was two things. It was, you know, Clay moving inside and them committing to hide at nickel.
Because let's face it. And it was also superior play by the secondary that will not be ever recognized by Packer fans. This is one of this is one of my biggest problems with Packer fans.
Rev them up.
They don't understand what a secondary is supposed to do. Literally, I don't care. I was at, what, four games last year? Every time I'm around somebody, and it usually is someone, it just boggles the mind.
Call
right?
them out. Call them
it
out.
It just,
it's all right.
It boggles my mind when people are like, all they see is a cornerback missing one play, right? But they don't see the 20 plays where they covered the guy unless they're at the game, right?
Yep.
You know, I'm somebody, obviously, who liked Tremont Williams. And I'm one of, for every person that likes Tremont Williams, there were probably 20 Packer fans who thought he was the biggest piece of garbage that ever played for the Green Bay Packers.
Which is absurd.
Which makes no sense to me, because if you actually watched him play, for every 19 plays that he did a good job, he'd have one play that was garbage, which is actually, like, in the league.
Which is great.
It's amazing.
It's a quality starter.
That's an amazing.
That's what he is. It's funny.
Which is why he got paid.
Oh,
by the way.
Big time. With what, a ton of guaranteed money for a guy his age. You know, good on him, man.
Good on him.
I was just talking to, I did a radio hit with a Cleveland radio station just before, like a couple hours ago. And they asked me, like, well, who are we getting in Tremont Williams? A solid starter. A guy who's a good man corner. I think the Packers, they're at some point this year, it's going to be, we miss him.
Well, where is, that's the thing, where is that hole going to be filled?
Well, that's the question, because with Hayward, you don't have a sound tackler. You just don't. You have a really good
and
zone corner.
And as good as Shields is he a number one corner?
I don't think so. I think he's good. He's inconsistent. And I know people are like, this is the year he steps up. And I
hope so.
Everybody who follows me on Twitter knows I put up vines all the time of plays from throughout the year. And there's one in particular where he's going up against Calvin Johnson, and he has perfect coverage. But, you know, Calvin Johnson is Calvin Johnson. He's just big and strong. He takes it away. And that, you just tip your cap, and there's nothing you can do. That coverage is there a lot of the time, but it's not there consistently all the time, like the greats, like the true number one, Revis, Sherman, blah, blah, blah. And obviously not every team can have one of those. But when you pair him with Hayward on the other side, who hasn't done a whole lot on the boundary, hasn't played a whole lot out there, he's a suspect tackler, et cetera. I can show you. I put up a play the other day where, you know, he's got Mike Wallace. If he just tackles him, it's a 6-yard gain down in Miami.
Yep.
It ruptures into a 25-yard gain.
And well, here's my thing.
Those are the plays you have to make.
Being at the Dallas playoff game.
Right.
Who is going to make that play at the end, which you can say it's controversial or whatever. But
it was Shields making sure the ball is at least loose.
Yes.
Right. Well, hopefully Sam Shields.
Hopefully. Hopefully again.
But and I would like to add, like, even though, you know, Sam, like I said, he had some rough times against Calvin Johnson. Later in that game, he had an amazing interception in the end zone.
Yep.
That guy plays his heart out, and I will never begrudge him. But that is the one kind of concern this year. You look at the secondary. You look at guys like Devon House and Tremont Williams, who you could put out there in man, especially Devon, who had a big body.
Yeah.
Went down to Jacksonville, got paid like a starter. God bless him. I hope he has much success. Now they need guys to step up. And I think Hayward can do it. I know Joe Witt Jr. has been very vocal in the press. Well, I don't know why we're talking about this. Well, because you're a football coach.
Well, you don't know until they do it.
There are football players out there that
people
are interested in.
And that's the thing. You don't know until you put the guy in the position. He's got to have the opportunity.
Oh, wait. Corey, you know what you haven't even touched on yet? We can officially declare camp has started. Do you know why?
Why?
Do you know why camp has officially started?
No.
Because Mike Neal is not practicing. And, you know, I like Mike. We've had our back and forths, and,
I just spilled beer on the keyboard, so if the show, completely
what
stops.
What time is it? 8:46. You were right! I'll let it be known that Nick, one of our lovely, tech people here.
What's happening
he
right
called,
now?
He called it. He said 42 minutes into the show, Corey would spill the beer.
I'm just...
I'm
just saying, if the show stops streaming, it's because I spilled beer on the keyboard, I'm sorry.
That's amazing, Nick. Well
sorry
done.
About that.
Well done.
Oopsie.
That is well done, sir. That's one of Corey's guys, so I don't feel bad. So yeah, Mike Neal, he's out there. He showed up late, strolling in, putting on his jersey. Yeah, thanks, Mike. And now I know camp has started because you're sitting around. Anyway, and then J-Rone Elliott.
J-Rone Elliott.
I wanted to talk about J-Rone because of the fact, to me, he's a duality. Because he's a guy who last year I came to camp, saw the first day in pads, and he really jumped out at me. He was a guy who was doing the little extra things like, as far as around the bag and drills.
Yep.
In team, he was really getting after it. He was like kind of like
he seemed to be this guy on the rise.
He really jumped out at you.
Yeah.
Today, I saw a guy kind of sloughing off. I kind of saw a guy like kind of, you know, he did a lot of drills. He's in there. He's doing a thing. But then he's like, oh, God, you know, and he kind of half-assed one drill and Winston Moss had to get on him. You don't like to see that.
That's not good.
But on the flip side, I will say this guy became the reason they could afford to let Jarrett Bush go on special teams last year.
Thank you.
Because he was amazing. Like you watch. This is what I do so you guys don't have to. I go and watch special teams cut-ups because I have no life. But, and you watch those, and he's amazing. He has this innate ability.
Who, Jarrett Bush?
No. J-Rone Elliott.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But he has this great
ability. Because I was going to remind you of the fact, the time when he didn't drop
the fumble,
on the ball.
Yeah, okay. You want to bring
it
up again?
In the NFC Championship?
The one?
Remember that time?
Were you at that game?
Yeah, I was.
All right, good. I watched
it was the
TV.
Second coldest game in NFL history, by the way.
I know. Were you there?
And, He didn't fall on the ball, and we didn't win.
Wait, I'm trying to remember.
And then there was this guy, Brett Favre, and he had like four guys open, but he threw it to the one guy who wasn't open. And then this guy had an interception, and he went all the way for a touchdown. And we lost.
Let me ask you something.
And that was the first time we ever lost at Lambeau in an NFC Championship game. That really sucked.
But let me ask you this. Did Jarrett Bush have an interception in the Super Bowl, or did I dream that?
What happened?
Oh, that's right. I'm going to drop the mic right now. Anyway, so J-Rone Elliott has this innate ability. Like, when he's covering kicks, he's a monster. He's a demon. He gets through there. He knows the angles. And guys, like, try to put moves on him. It's hilarious. Like, the shake. There's no thing more annoying to me than watching guys in football pads go like this when they're running up. Like, especially when they're trying to sack the quarterback. And they're presented with a blocker, and they go like this. What are you auditioning for Chicago? What are you doing? Like, I just don't understand. You're just wasting time.
Of course. My favorite is when they would, like, shake each other's hands.
Right.
I like that.
That's hotness.
Charles Woodson, he started that, I think.
The handshake.
Yeah, I like that. That's very gentlemanly.
But, like, he gets around that, and he knows what to do. And so I think his value will be on special teams. And they got to coach him up for all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm almost
ready. Are we sure? Did you break the computer?
No. It hasn't broken yet.
Yeah,
so here we go.
Being the operative
word. You ready?
I'm ready.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. Why do you just cut like that? You gotta let it fade, dude.
I didn't mean to.
You gotta let
it just happened.
You just ruined my vibe, man.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry.
We should do it again.
No, let's not do it again.
Right. So anyway, this week in the Packers blogosphere, I want to ask, where's the Packers blogosphere, man?
We ate the Packers blogosphere. I'm wearing this shirt for Jersey Al, by the way. So
Jersey Al.
I've actually got a comment in the audience about this shirt. Someone wants this shirt, so I'm gonna have to give it to them. But this is the all Green Bay Packers shirt. And I want to give a shout out to Jersey Al
up,
and
Jersey
the whole
Al?
Team that came over to Cheesehead TV.
Yep.
It's been amazing. The last month has been amazing.
Incredible.
We've had more content in 1 month than I think we had all of last year.
I don't know about that because Brian was a freaking force.
Brian was a force, but I really think the site, it was such a good move.
It's
I miss
great.
Brian. You know, when 24/7 sports totally craps the bed, Brian can come back to Cheesehead TV. It's fine.
Welcome back, Brian.
And, you know,
welcome back.
I'm not hating on 24/7. Come on now.
Especially since they're in A, Google News, and B, like three times our
slow
traffic.
Down.
But
nobody
other than
asked
that,
you. Okay.
Know.
So a shout out to Jersey Al. I know he's watching tonight, and I really appreciate you and the writers. It's really been awesome. All Green Bay Packers, all the time. Come
but
on.
But you
now.
Know, we haven't eaten everyone. I mean, we ate Railbird Central and we ate Jersey Al, but like, you know, we're at the Packer blogosphere. Come on. Like, get it. The Packers Lounge.
Packers Lounge.
Packers Lounge. Come on. You know, but, like, we need you know, Packer geeks, they were great because I could argue with them.
They're
like,
still
we need,
around.
I know, but we need more people to argue with. Like, you know, like blog wars are the best.
It's true.
Really, Twitter just doesn't capture it
it's
the way
true.
The blog wars did.
So everybody watching tonight, tomorrow and Saturday, we're doing a very special guerrilla stream of Packers training camp. Okay. There may be players involved.
Gorilla.
There may be players involved.
Or there may not be.
We're doing two. We're doing one first. We're actually doing a first. We're being able to switch on an iPad wirelessly multiple cameras, which is pretty awesome.
This ain't Periscope with your freaking phone. No. You're like, hi, I'm Periscope.
No. This isn't Meerkat. This is some hotness, and we are doing it. And you know why? Because we're devoted to Packer fans. That's what we are about. Packer fans deserve the best coverage there is, and hopefully we are one piece of that puzzle.
Hopefully we don't crap the bed with our software. But
now
other than that,
the cool thing is I still have the pages set up, so the live blog will be happening. So if the live stream doesn't work, it's all good.
Go to cheeseheadtv.com tomorrow. Follow along like you always do with all the tweets.
And
all
then
the
there'll be some videos, and you might see some cool
and
stuff.
And then after the practice is over, we may or may not, but hopefully may, have some live streaming interviews with various people that you will recognize.
There you go.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. But that's the idea in the Packard blogosphere. The newest hotness, as Corey likes to say. I don't know, man. You ready to kick this year off?
Yes, I am. I'm very much ready. I'm very much ready.
I don't know,
really excited. We're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm really excited about it.
It is interesting. You talk to people around the Packers who aren't involved with football. Like, all the football guys have to be buttoned up. They can't say anything.
Of
blah,
course.
Blah, 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 blah. Marketing, anybody in any kind of endeavor other than the football side, everybody's like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl.
If we don't get to the
Super Bowl.
If we don't get to the Super Bowl and win, and I've never said this any year, if we don't get to the Super Bowl and win, it's a fail.
You know,
I'm sorry. I went to Seattle. I'm sorry.
I cannot agree.
I'm sorry.
I cannot agree.
It is.
I cannot agree.
That's okay.
It depends on the type of year you have. You cannot call a year a failure when 32 teams are trying and vying for one spot, one ultimate title, and, you know, ultimately, it is fucking hard to win a Super Bowl. And I get that they're a very good team, but there are a few other very good teams. So I can't call not winning the Super Bowl a failure.
I just have higher standards than you.
Clearly. Obviously.
That's okay.
Hey, you know what? You know what we haven't talked about? We mentioned it earlier in the show.
We do have a contest too, by the way.
This isn't in the script, but I don't care. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
How about Brett Favre? Yeah. How about Brett Favre? Back in the fold, baby. And may I just say, we have the author of Life After Favre in the house.
We do.
One of the greatest books
who
ever
came
written.
All the way from Ireland just
Ireland
for our show,
just to
apparently.
Be here.
That does not suck.
Phil Hanrahan in the house.
There we go.
But so Phil's book, you should all read it if you haven't.
It's very good.
Freaking phenomenal.
Actually, I believe Phil is one of the only people that was at our last live show.
I think you're right.
In a bar.
In a bar.
Kettle of Fish.
In a bar in New York. Kettle of Fish.
There you go. He just follows us.
That
He's
was a
like
great
stalks
gig
us.
Because like we were there and like Dave Robinson was there.
That was awesome.
Like, they booked him the same night to sign copies of his book. And so everyone was there. Obviously for Dave Robinson. But like we're like two geeks in the corner going, we're streaming our little show.
Yeah, Dave Robinson is here to see our show.
Yeah, exactly. Nah. Robinson knew we were going to be here.
No, he wasn't.
And I love that bit because we stole internet. Well, we didn't steal. We asked. We had to run like a 60-foot cable from the
corner bar.
The drag bar.
Yeah.
Now, it was a gay bar on the corner.
Yep.
That like sure, honey, you can use our internet.
Yep.
Like,
it was awesome.
Thanks.
They were great.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
It was great. That was a great show. And Phil was there to witness it.
Yes.
But Brett Favre, back in the fold. Come on. Where else? I mean, that scene, he's coming out of the tunnel, and they played the I mean, come on. Are you ready for this, Corey?
You know what's really funny is Aaron.
That's not an answer. Are you ready for this?
No. Aaron Stillmank, you know what? Stillmank Beer is going to come out with a new Brett Favre beer called Betrayal Ale.
Betrayal Ale, baby.
I'm down. That's my kind of beer, bro.
I love it.
I'm going to drink the hell out of that beer.
I love it. But hey, come on. How great was this speech?
It's great. It's great.
How great was the fat ass part?
He is the third greatest quarterback to ever play for the Green Bay Packers.
Slow down.
It's true.
Slow down.
Hate to tell you, but it's true, bro.
Slow down. Slow down.
Who's the greatest?
Bart Starr.
Okay. Who's the second greatest?
Brett Favre.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, slow down. Everyone forgets the three MVP years. Everyone remembers, like, old, decrepit, like, throwing six interceptions, Brett Favre. No one remembers the MVP years. Go watch it. That's all I'm saying.
I remember him getting a concussion and then coming back on the field and throwing a touchdown.
Against the Giants on fourth down. Booyah. He's the ultimate warrior. Love the kid.
Love him.
We love Brett Favre. He's great. He did. Without Brett Favre, there is no Aaron Rodgers. Without Brett Favre, there isn't a lot of things.
There aren't a whole lot of things. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
All right, so we have a giveaway. I'll get out of here before I say
Okay, we're giving away a Packers poster to people that came to visit us here at Stillmank Brewery. So here is the trivia question. You're going to win a Cheesehead TV poster, y'all. I know you're really excited.
As Corey
says, contain your excitement, okay?
Corey says this is the hotness.
So there are four fermentation. This is a Stillmank Brewery trivia question, right? Yeah. There are four fermentation. Did I get that right? Tanks.
Okay. Tough word. Fermentation you got. Tanks was too hard.
And they're named after Packer players. Numbers.
The numbers.
Okay, so I need three out of four numbers.
They are four great Packer players, all-time greats, all of them.
If you can name three out of four.
Three of the four. Just shout them out.
Nope.
12, 15, 80. That's it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Look at that. Come on now.
You're getting a poster.
Get the poster, baby.
Come on. Give it up for him, people.
There you go. Hold up. I tend to think that he's sitting right there, and the fermentation tanks that we speak
they're
of
right behind
are right there. So
I'm going to
have to check your line of sight, sir.
I didn't say it was a hard question.
Yeah,
if people want a poster, let's give them a poster. Okay?
I know. I hear you.
It's okay.
Exactly. There you go.
It's actually brilliant. The quarterbacks throw to the receiver and the fermentation tank.
The last one. Yeah,
it's brilliant.
It's great.
Brad and Aaron, they know what's up.
They know. They know. They're the hotness.
They ain't playing.
They are the hotness. All right. So we should stop babbling.
Yes.
We should get out of here.
Yes.
We'll throw some shirts around later.
Yes.
Thank you all so much for coming out to Stillman. Give yourself a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Woo!
Exactly.
There you go.
No. All right, slow down. First day of camp. But thank you. Seriously,
yes.
I can't thank you guys enough for coming out. Thank you again to Brad and Aaron for hosting us.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And I want to say
We
have a new sponsor at Cheesehead TV, Legends of the Field.
Legends of the
Field
is
joining us this year, which is really big for us.
Big time. We're going to be sponsoring various stuff throughout the year.
We're going to have lots of merchandise, autographed merchandise to give away on the show to invite more people to watch the show. So look for that throughout the year.
It's going to be great.
Pretty good stuff. And throwback weekend, October 17th, of
October 17th, throwback. Get your throwback jerseys. They're available in the pro shop.
Yes.
We're always here to purchase merchandise for the corporates. But anyway, thank you guys so much for coming out. Seriously, thank you so much. You're the reason we do what we do. I can't believe every time we get a tweet, every time we get someone walk up to us in real life. I met so many people today. I follow you on Twitter. I'm like, why? I appreciate it so much. We appreciate you guys checking out the show, checking out the website, cheeseheadtv.com. We're dedicated, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.